Blog Talk Radio.
Be advised, Mary Queen, please, and associates with the suspect and the victim. This, West.
Anyone, waiting 172, no water warrant.
You are listening to another edition of the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. Brought to you by Private Officer International, a security and law enforcement organization. Broadcasting today from...
Welcome to this edition of On the Legal Side, where everything in this whole episode is going to be about the law and how it affects private security and public safety today. I'm your host, Rick McCann, the founder and CEO of Private Officer International and Armor College. And today we're talking about security officers helping security officers, the legalities, the benefits, and the problems that may come with it. The consequences, are they going to outweigh the advantages? That's our topic today. You know, many times, especially in metropolitan areas, security officers are working at accounts at clients' properties right next door to another security officer. And in this day and age when many things can happen and we often need immediate backup, but we don't have it because most private officers are one-man post, one-man patrol, one-man assignment. And that can be very dangerous. It can be a very bad situation for many private officers. And this subject has come up time and time again. Why can't another security officer across the street come over to where I am at the hotel, at the apartment complex, at the shopping center, and help me when I'm chasing a suspect or struggling with someone or being assaulted? From one aspect, on one hand, it sounds reasonable. You see somebody in need, you want to assist them. You want to go to their aid. And I can tell you from having been there, both as a law enforcement officer and working private security, there are times when having that additional backup there before law enforcement can arrive is exactly what saves the day. It prevents officers from being injured. It prevents suspects from getting away. And having anyone at that time, at that point, at that stage of the event come to intervene to help you is a blessing. But on the business end of it, on the other hand, is this the right thing to do? Security companies, insurance companies, business entities have looked at this over the years, and they have tried to weigh the advantages against the disadvantages, the legality, the liability, the consequences. And from a legal standpoint, they have, year after year, looked at it and come up with the same conclusive answer. But today, we're going to look at it from a different standpoint. We're talking about officers helping officers. In many areas, especially in the more metropolitan areas, you have private security personnel working on almost every property in a block or several blocks or even multiple blocks. Take New York City, for instance. If you were to go down into Times Square, into many areas of New York City, you would have security officers at every restaurant, theater, different types of businesses. In all the high-rises, you have doormen, you have security personnel, apartments, condominiums. You have security working all over downtown. Not only downtown, but in Manhattan, in Brooklyn. You have many security personnel. tens of thousands of security officers are employed in New York State alone. Imagine for just a moment now that those officers were all on the same radio frequency and was able to communicate with each other and give a 1000 or whatever the code might be that they needed assistance. And imagine that right there on that block, 5 or 10 or 15 other officers immediately come to your aid, come to your rescue, swoop in and take the suspect off from you, stop that person from beating on you, assaulting you, or escaping. Wow, what an advantage that would be. What a great thing that would be. That would be just as good as being a member of the local police department and having, you know, that radio call go out and 10 or 15 patrol cars show up in a matter of minutes. This would be a great advantage, a huge advantage. It would save lives, let me tell you that. And from that standpoint, I'm all for it. We need, now more than ever, to stand up and help each other to prevent injuries. And really, with law enforcement being so short-staffed and so many departments being just really spread thin, this would be an answer. This would keep officers safer. More than 36,000 assaults and injuries on security officers in 2018. This would save lives. This would prevent escapes of suspects. And more importantly, this would allow that officer not to be alone during high-risk situations. This sounds all perfect to me. So all in all, this sounds like a great deal. It sounds like the right thing to do and an immediate answer when a security officer or a private police officer is in immediate need for immediate assistance. In 2009 in Houston, Texas, a security officer did just that. He was at an apartment complex directly across from another apartment complex that was being patrolled by a different company. And on this particular night, while on duty, he heard several gunshots coming from across the street. He ran across the street, leaving his account, his property, to aid what he thought was a security officer in danger. In this situation, he had good intentions, but it was a bad decision. Because while he was investigating what he thought to be gunshots across the street, a shooting had occurred on his own property. It was in another section of the apartment complexes toward the rear, and he thought that the gunshots were actually coming from across the street. When he got back to his apartment complex, all of the Houston police and EMS and fire department were there. And so here he was in the middle of a shooting on the property where he was contracted to be. And he has no information about what's happening. He comes in after everything's gone down. And guess what happens to the contract? Not only did his company lose the contract, but there was a lawsuit where his company was liable. The lawsuit said they could have prevented the shooting had the security officer been doing his job and not been off the property. We don't know how long he was off the property. We don't even know if he did anything on the apartment complex property across the street. We just know that he left the apartment complex where he was assigned, where his company had a contract. So the problem with leaving one property to go to another property that's under contract by another company is, number one, We have a breach of contract. Our contract says that we're supposed to be at that property from XYZ time, 10 p.m. until 6 a.m. That our duty is on the property, not across the street at 7-Eleven, not across the street at an apartment complex, not next door where we think another security officer is in need of our assistance. I believe that in a life and death situation where we know for sure something is really awry, that going there could be defendable in court. But in this situation, he just heard gunshots. He didn't even know where they were coming from. He just assumed they were across the apartment complex across the way and that maybe the security officer was involved. I understand the reason for the response, but we have a breach of contract. That's the number one worry. We can't just assume. We can't just take it upon ourselves. So what could he have done? Well, one, he could have called 911. And two, if he was that close, if he had a good rapport relationship with the security officer across the road, he could have had his cell phone number and he could have called them and said, hey, George, Jose, John, Tom, whatever, is everything okay? I heard gunshots coming from over there. Are you all right? Do you need help? Do you need 911? He could have verified before leaving the property. And oftentimes we think after we do, instead of think before we do. And I understand, like I said, why he left and why he thought what he did. But unfortunately, it put him and his company in a peculiar situation. But making the right decision and making a decision based on, you know, your heart and your thoughts and trying to do the right thing isn't always the same thing. So in this situation, it was a breach of contract. What else was wrong about going across the street? From a business standpoint, you know, our client comes number one. We have to fulfill the terms of our agreement. We can't leave one property to go to another property that we're not even connected to unless there's really a severe concern for loss of life. But breach of contract. The other problem was if he had done something, if he had intervened, had there been a shooting across the street and he got into a gun battle with the alleged shooter, what liability now does his employer automatically assume? Number one, he's on the property without authority. He has no authority to be there. The client didn't invite him. The client of the apartment across the street didn't authorize him. The client, the company across the street, didn't ask for him to come in, and he has no authority, no jurisdiction to do anything other than what any normal citizen would do. But in this situation, he would be acting way out of the realm of his authority, and if he had intervened and shot someone, if he got into a firefight and several people were shot, or even if he was killed, there are so many questions, so many legal questions that would have to be answered. It could result in multiple lawsuits and a lack of the security officer being covered by workers' comp. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we want to address that very thing. Insurance, liability, being negligent, and how it affects whether or not you, when you're injured, is covered by workers' comp, or your family benefits from any insurance that you might be covered by, or your employer might be covered by. You're listening to From the Legal Side, sponsored by Body Armor USA. We've got what it takes to protect you. Check us out online today for all of your protective gear armor and protective clothing. Body Armor USA, we've got what it takes to protect you. We'll be right back.
I've been throwing horseshoes over my left shoulder. I've spent most all my life searching for...
Are you shopping around for armed or unarmed security training, CPR, first aid training, lethal or non-lethal training in and around the greater Metro Charlotte area? Do you want to be SLED certified so that you can maybe start a new career or make some part-time income? Then check out Premier Training Academy, Charlotte, North Carolina's leading academy for all things training. 704-806-4933. Ask for John. Premier Training. We're here to train you so that you don't make mistakes. Premier Training Academy, Metro Charlotte's premier training service. 704-806-4933.
So we were talking about if the security officer assigned to an apartment complex runs across the street to help another security officer and he gets involved in a shooting or he gets injured or, God forbid, he dies trying to do the right thing, what happens next? Like I said just before the break, number one issue, of course, is a breach of contract. Number two, he had no authority to be on the property from a legal standpoint. He wasn't even an invitee because the other security officer didn't call him over. He went on his own. So if he was to be injured or killed, his employer's workers' comp insurance would not even cover him because it was not part of his assignment. It was not a client. It was not an account. It was just like if he was on duty driving from point A to point B, decides to stop at a local gas station to get gas or a Pepsi, and he sees what he believes to be a robbery in progress, and he intervenes and gets killed. His employer's workers' comp would not cover that death. It was outside of his scope. He was acting on his own. He was acting outside of his duties, and he wasn't on a contract or a client's property. And so in that situation, I'm 100% positive that the general liability and the workers' comp would argue that very thing to the point where they're not responsible to pay any medical bills. They're not responsible to pay any out-of-pocket cost to the employer or to the employee's family. And unfortunately, I know that sometimes even life insurance will not pay that claim. If a person was negligent and brought death to themselves, it would be an argument, possibly even another legal case that would have to be filed. Insurance these days are looking for every way possible not to pay the claim, whether that's your vehicle, auto insurance, homeowners insurance, apartment insurance, workers' comp, general liability, business insurance. Trust me, it's not as easy as you would think or hope to file a claim and get paid especially if you paid your premiums year after year and now you need it, and guess what? They're not available. In this situation, you have somebody who is trying to do the right thing for the right reason, but on the wrong property, not authorized, not invited to the property, not a resident of the property, not an employee of the property, somebody who violated the agreement of the client that he was supposed to be at. He was acting in the capacity of a good Samaritan, but there's a lot of legal questions that would remain to be answered, and no doubt, probably at least one or two lawsuits in between there, possibly. How can we make this a legal advantage to us? So we have looked at this.
Slow down.
And move over.
When you see light, best.
Or reflective, please give us some room. Slow down.
And move over.
We look out for you.
So look out for us.
Please.
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 Slow down.
And move over.
It's the law.
It's the law.
It's the law.
Fantastic day.
What a fantastic day.
The water is like glass.
The water is like glass.
Don't forget the soda.
Don't forget the life jacket.
Who wants the 8 and who wants the 15?
Who wants the inflatables?
What a great day.
To be on the water.
So glad you saw me go over.
That was so funny when you went over and your life jacket inflated.
Never go out without a life jacket on again.
What a great day we had.
When it comes to wearing life jackets, make the right choice. You're in command. Vote responsibly. This message brought to you by the National Safe Boating Council and the U.S. Coast Guard.
So we have looked at this from a legal standpoint numerous times. We have had others in the industry and in the legal profession look at how do we shield ourselves? How do we cover our liability? How do we prevent any type of lawsuit when companies try to help each other out, when security officers try to help each other out, because in some cases it might be a life and death situation. And we don't want to violate our contract or agreement with our client. We don't want to be sued, but we do want to help prevent a life and death situation. There's only one real possibility, one real legal avenue, one possible way to remedy this situation, and that's called a MOU, a Memorandum of Understanding. And this would take getting several parties involved. If you want to try to help other security personnel in the area, then you would need a Memorandum of Understanding from your client, from the other accounts, companies, businesses that employ security officers from other agencies, and from your insurance companies. Everybody would have to agree to indemnify each other, meaning hold each other harmless. So if a security officer from an company, a construction site, a school building, an apartment complex ran across the street or down to the corner to help another security company employed by another company, that MOU, that Memorandum of Understanding, would allow them to be on the property as an invited guest. It would be recognized as cooperating with this other company in times of emergencies and extreme life-threatening situations, and it would either have an allowance for the insurance company of the employer or the insurance company of the secondary account where the security officer ran to the help to cover any type of lawsuit or liability issue or injury that might come of it. In other words, you agree to issue a coverage letter of coverage to insure that security officer, or in your memorandum of understanding, you might hold each other harmless, which means you find no fault no matter what happens. Even if you, the security company, are sued, you find no fault with the other security company who came to your aid, and vice versa. This would all have to be done legally through an attorney, and you would have to have it all notarized and everybody's John Hancock on that MOU. Now, what are the chances that insurance companies are going to go, oh, well, you know, yeah, we're going to cover him even though he wasn't on the property where he was contracted to be. Oh, yeah, we're going to pay all that medical bills, you know, for the shooting that he was involved in. And no, more than likely, they're not going to go for it. And you may have some real pushback. And not only that, you may have insurance companies who don't want anything to do with it. At that point, you would have to indemnify each other and hold each other harmless and say, no matter what happens, we're not going to blame you. We're not going to come after you. We're not going to sue you. We appreciate your help. We thank your employee for coming to the aid of our employee and vice versa. And no matter what happens, it was all for the good of both companies, or even if it's multiple companies. There could be three or even four different security companies working, one square block, a downtown area like D.C. or New York. And you would have to, everyone be on that memorandum of understanding and say, nope, we're not going to hold anybody responsible. We're not going to hold anybody liable. We're not going to sue each other. We appreciate all the help that you offer to our employees, and everything's good, even if it's not. Even if somebody's injured, even if somebody dies in the event, in the incident, we have to hold them harmless, and we have to say, nope, nothing's going to happen to you. That would make them available to respond to incidents where your security company's employees are in need of help. And you would have to lay out in the memorandum of understanding when that security officer would be expected to respond and when they are not needed to get involved. You would have to make it known in writing what their duties are when they respond, that they are to be under the instructions of the property security officer where they were responding to and not the guy in charge. You see, that's the other problem you're going to run into. All chiefs and no junior officers. Everybody wants to be the boss. Nobody wants to be the worker, the patrolman. It's very important that we have this all spelled out if it's going to happen, if it's even going to be allowed, if it's even going to be a possibility. We need to have all of this spelled out in writing in an MOU, a memorandum of understanding. And without that MOU, nothing is going to happen. Nothing is going to take place. And I'm really doubtful at this point whether or not even insurance companies would agree to participate. And if they did not participate, and if you signed an MOU and you agree to hold everybody, indemnify them and hold them harmless, if somebody was to turn around, one of the people injured during this incident, one of the non-security company people involved in the incident, they could still sue. They could still sue everybody, every security officer and company that was involved, even if they're not on the contract. They could still sue them. You have to take all of these things into consideration. But short of doing that, short of having some type of letter of understanding, memorandum, There's no way that any security officer or company could not be held liable if you leave the property and something happens, somebody gets hurt, somebody dies, or you leave the property and while you're gone, like what happened in Houston, something happens on your property. So the part about helping each other and helping all the security officers and being their backup is a great idea. We've done it in the past. We have. But there's a lot of liability, a lot of risk, and it's not one that most companies are going to want to take. That's going to conclude this edition of From the Legal Side. We appreciate you being here. And like we always say, until the next time, we'll see you back here on the radio. But in the meantime, be safe, be blessed. We'll see you back here on the radio.